This program is brought to you by Emory University.
This book report is brought to you by Emory Report.
My name is Lynn Huffer, and I'm a professor at Emory University in Women's Studies. And my new book is Mad for Foucault, Rethinking the Foundations of Queer Theory. And I have been reading Foucault and teaching Foucault for about 20 years now, and until I wrote this book, I had never actually written anything about him, and I think it was partly because of this ambivalence that I had about his work. Many feminists have been critical of Foucault, arguing that he doesn't pay attention to women in his histories, that he ignores sexism. He also has written and made some comments about rape that some people have thought were problematic. So, you know, for all of those feminist reasons, I too had some problems with his work. In 2006, I was working on this other book, and I decided that I wanted to explore Foucault more deeply because I was interested in his theories about ethics. And I went to the Foucault archives, which are in Normandy in France. When I was in the archives, then Foucault kept mentioning, you know, his History of Madness as the most important book that he had written. That made me go back to the book. I had read it before in French, and I thought, I'm going to go back and read it again because it is so important to him. And it's only in 2006 that it was fully translated. So it's a major book by Foucault that many people in the Anglophone world have not fully known. And that made me perk up even more because I thought this is a really great moment to make an argument about the importance of this book. And one of the things I argue in my book, Mad for Foucault, is that we can't really understand Foucault's thinking about sexuality without understanding the arguments that he develops in History of Madness, that there's a relationship between how he thinks about madness historically and how we think about the emergence of forms of what we might call sexual deviance, that there's a relationship between the two. And then the other piece that I think is really important is that History of Madness is a deeply archival work, so it's a work that reflects the fact that Foucault was an archival thinker. He was a philosopher who spent his life in archives, looking at the material traces of people that we might call sexual deviants, right? History of Madness, in some ways, is you could also say it's the history of reason, because one of the points he makes in the book is that you can't really speak madness, and so any speaking about madness is actually the language of reason. And I think that major argument that the book develops has a relationship to how we think about sexual deviance as forms of experience for which we often can't find a language, but the language of rationalism and the language of science turns these different forms of experience that don't have a language into things that can be codified, pinned down, understood. I mean, so in the 19th century, in sexology, for example, there was a whole array of different perversions, right, that were named and codified as part of this new science of sexology. So I think that's an example of how that language of reason comes to sort of capture these forms of experience that are unintelligible. And so it gives a new lens then for thinking about sexuality, which is something that I've been thinking about for a long time. And so part of, I think, what the book is speaking to is a desire on my part, and this is where the ethics comes in. There's this space of experience that is unintelligible, and that has, in fact, been produced through gestures of exclusion. And those gestures of exclusion are not just institutional, right? I mean, a classic gesture of exclusion is locking people up in an asylum. Right. And, you know, one of the things that Foucault describes in History of Madness is in the 17th century, all of a sudden, you know, in the middle of the 17th century, 1% of the Parisian population was simply locked up and silenced. And those people include, I mean, you know, as mad, but those people included everybody from paupers to masturbators to sodomites to nymphomaniacs. So explicitly, I think what Foucault is doing in History of Madness is he's showing us that all of those identities are both products of power, they're products of forms of exclusion that then become turned into discursive modes that are captured in the language of science. So he's showing that. And then he's showing how those are, that happens over time, so that the way it happens in the 17th century is going to be different than the way that it happens in the 19th century. So those modes of identity are also historically specific. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really important. So, you know, a philosophical way of saying that is just that Foucault is historicizing the emergence of subjectivity, right? He's historicizing that. And that's really, really important. Foucault, like most famous thinkers, tends to be presented in a kind of soundbite way, right? Foucault is a thinker of power. Foucault and biopower, Foucault and disciplinary power. I mean, we have these sort of sound bites about Foucault that everybody learns and then everybody thinks they know Foucault. So one big hope would be that people, their reading of my book would dislodge those pat understandings of Foucault and what he was thinking. The second thing I think would be that I would just hope that it would get people to think differently about the emergence of sexuality in history, and to spur a kind of ethical thinking that would be different than the way we have thought about ethics thus far.
The preceding program is copyrighted by Emory University. Please visit us at emory.edu.